Yes, buddy. Good looking fella you are. That's right. Good to see everybody here this morning. Glad that you are with us. A lot of red, festive colors. Got a green back here. It's all nice coming together for Christmas as we are here. We're glad to see everybody here today. And I hope that you had a blessed week. We are going to continue what we had started a couple weeks ago about looking at what it is to be a member of a church. If you remember, for a while now, we've been traveling down the road in a bus of the book of Acts. And a few weeks ago, there was a pretty big decision or vote that we were going to take as a church. It had come up about being a church member as far as who could vote and who wasn't. So I had felt urged to park the bus of Acts into the way station for just a little bit as we take a look at what it is to be a member of a church. And we started a couple weeks ago, and we had to say that, as we always do with all things, what does the Bible say about being a church member? And it was in that message that it come up that the Bible doesn't say anything about church membership. When you look it up, you're not going to find the word church member anywhere in it. So we had to take the time to look at how God sees people being a member of a church. And we said that it was the local churches being established. And this was all the way back into the Old Testament. Whenever Jerusalem was all together, all of Israel was together, they could just go to the temple on a daily basis or weekly basis according to plan. But then because of their disobedience, through the dispersion, the scattering, the being led out in captivity, they lived in other parts of the world. And instead, at that time, while they were in captivity, they began to have a church. They didn't steal their faith, they just removed them from their land. So they started having church on their own, at which time that through when Persia come in and took over, they allowed them to go back to Jerusalem. But some didn't go back. They had their local church. They had their new lives. They just stayed where they were at. The local church remained. And we see evidence of this when we went through the book of Acts. Up to this point, we saw that when Paul and Barnabas was on their missionary journey, the first place they went was where? The synagogue. That's right. I heard you say it. I heard you. But that's where they would go. The first thing they did when they went into a town, no matter where it was at, they would go to the synagogue first. They would go to the Jew first. And then they would go out and talk to the Gentile. So we know that there were churches out there, and we know that they were counting. They said in the book of Acts, 3,000 got saved. Later on, we see 5,000 got saved. It says that they were adding to the church every day. So they were doing church. They were taking church serious. They were caring for one another. So when you look at Acts chapter 6, so we see this picture of the local church. And we have to say that this is God's design because it just keeps happening, right? So we can affirm with wholeheartedly that God's design was for us to be a church, a local body of believers coming together to worship, to be equipped, to grow in our faith, and to go out and live in the world, right? So week two, last week, we said, okay, so Scripture does talk about being a church member, being connected to a local church. But what does that mean? And last week, we said the philosophy of it. What's the philosophy of being a church member? And we titled it and went into looking at being a family, right? That whenever you're joining a family, we got our son-in-law and daughter with us, and before he said I do to my daughter, he had to really think, I'm joining this crazy bunch as well. So they're becoming my family as well. And it says when we come to be a part of a local congregation, we come and we got people from different families, from different backgrounds, different ages, maybe even different cultures. Do I want to unite with these people? Because they're going to be my family as well. And we also said that the church was more than just a club or an organization, right? We said we're not a tractor pulling club, we're not a sports club, we're not anything, because clubs require initiation, they require dues, all these other things. Well, a church wants you to come because of the call of God on your life. And we're not an organization, right? An organization, as we've already said, is defined as they exist in order to sustain themselves. But we are in fact an organism. We are a body of Christ. The Bible continually shows over and over the number of times to where it refers as if we are a living being, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. So we can see that we are an organism, and an organism exists to reproduce itself. Okay? So we're more than that. And so the best way for us to be able to relate a philosophy of being a church member is that we are coming to church, the local church, as an embassy. If you remember last week, we talked about how if you go to a foreign country, you got your passport, you have every right to be there, but if something happens, you're in a foreign land. You can't just call mom and dad. You can't go to the next door neighbor and say, hey, I'm such and such a kid, and they take care of you like we do around here. You're miles and miles away from home. So our safe place is go to the embassy, right? If you walk into an embassy, no matter what country you're in, wherever that embassy is sitting, no matter how big it is, that is American soil. You walk in, you're a full-fledged citizen. And we walk into that embassy in order to get things fixed, to get encouraged. It's our safe place, right? And we look at the local church, and Paul had told us on several occasions that we looked at, that we're citizens of heaven. That we're not in our home. This is not where we belong. We saw several scriptures that show just that. So we come here to the local church as an embassy to get to grow, to have that safe place to where we can come and be together. But we don't live here, do we? We talked about that. We don't live here. This is not the only place. We live out there. We come here to grow in our faith and understanding, and we go and be citizens of heaven in a foreign land outside of these walls, right? That's what we was looking at last week. Well, today we're going to continue looking at that. So there's plenty of churches out there, right? There's plenty of churches that we can go through. You take Terry is the farthest drive that I know of. He probably drives past 50 Baptist churches just to get here. What makes you want to be a part of this church? What is it that you should be looking for in a local church to say, I want to scripturally follow being a part of a family for the glory of God until I'm to reach where I'm supposed to go? That's where we're going today. What should we look for in the church? And we're going to do that in Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I'll give you a second to get to Ephesians chapter 2 in order to see what God has to say about this. What is it that we should be looking for regarding a church to be a part of? In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, and it reads, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we do adore you. We thank you so much that not only that we get to know you because of the Holy Spirit introducing Jesus Christ to us, but we have a family here. You call us to come together as brothers and sisters, as heirs and co-heirs with Christ to this place. May we take courage. May we be excited about the family of believers that we get to come together with and exalt and lift up your hallowed name. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that our eyes and hearts be opened to your word to see rightly what it is that you are telling us, and ask, Heavenly Father, for your blessings upon each and every word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we saw that it was scriptural, and I told you then that there's so much scripture that I couldn't put it all together for you in one piece of paper. And I tried to do as much as I could with that bulletin insert on the week one. But I said then that I couldn't give you all the scripture that there is, because then I got to have more to preach on. So today we're looking at some very familiar passages that we've kind of hinted on that are very closely tied to some of them that we've already looked at. But today, in Ephesians chapter 2, and I may say Acts because I'm just so used to saying Acts. But anyways, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 17, he starts off, "And he," referring to Jesus, as we'll see clearly as you continue to read, "and he came and preached peace." The peace that they're talking about here is a inner peace, a satisfying peace. It's whenever you have a hard day at work and you make some compromising decisions, or you act in a certain way and you're really not comfortable about the way you acted that day against someone, against the boss or whatever, and you lay down at night and you really have trouble going to sleep. Right? I wasn't doing what I should have done. I knew better. So I'm really not at peace with who I was today. And so what we do is we pray, we ask God to forgive us, and praise be to God that when we go before Him with an open heart and ask Him to forgive us, He does. Yes. He's faithful and just. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, that when we ask, He is faithful and just to do that. But he hears our prayers and he forgives us. But we're to continue to do better. But so that whenever we have a day, that even though we might not be perfect in that day, that when we go home, we've got a peace, because no matter what, I am saved. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. This is a peace that allows that when you hit your head on the pillow, you're out like a light, and you sleep the best sleep you've slept in a while. I've got a peace. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has been taken care of through Jesus Christ. So this is the peace that Jesus come to preach, okay? He come and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. So he repeats peace here, because why? It's the same message. It's the same message to those who are near. It's the same message to those who are far. Now, in this particular context, Paul is engaging the church in a Gentile nation. And he knows that the message has of a Jewish nature. And Paul, being a Jew himself, he has to clarify that this far and this near, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. The difference here, but we could say the same thing today, right? There's far and near here today. Those who already know Jesus Christ, they're a part of the family of Cropper Baptist Church and other churches. And then those who refuse, those who don't know, those who haven't accepted the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same message for us as it is for them. And let me just say, we need to be reminded of the message on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis. I love hearing the gospel. I love reading the message that God loves me, that God saved me, that God has a plan for me. Every time I open the Bible, I love hearing it. So it's a message for us today. It's a message for us tomorrow. It's a message for us every day. And it's for us as well as anyone else. It's one that we're not to be silent with. We need it ourselves just as much as everyone else needs it. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day so that we can also preach it to others. So verse 18, he goes on, "For through him we both have access," saying those who far and near, "we both have access in one spirit to the Father." That's good news. We all have access to the Father. He's not some distant guy way out there that we have to do absolutely everything right and have special permission. That went on when Jesus gave up his ghost on the cross and said that, when he said that it's finished, that veil was rent in two, and the Spirit of God was released for all of us to receive. that we have direct access. We don't have to have a preacher. We don't have to have a priest. We don't have to say a certain prayer. We, with our heart, before a holy God, say, God, I surrender all. And He hears us, no matter where we're at. This is the access He's talking about. We, all who believe, trusting in God, calling out to Him, He hears us. We have this access. I don't know if y'all are hearing me this morning or not. You're awful quiet. You're the church, my church mouse every now and then running around. Are you getting it this morning? We have this access to one Spirit, to the Father. It's a beautiful message for us on this morning. He goes on in verse 19. So then, now listen to the language of this. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Again, this embassy. And we talked last week, and I'll briefly hit it again, but it's worth reminding you that we talked about the capital letter C, church, and the lowercase c, church. The capital letter C, church, is the ecumenical church. It's anyone who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that lived the perfect life and died a real death in our place. And if we believe that, we confess our sins, that if we repent of those sins and walk with Him on a daily basis for the rest of our lives, we're a part of the capital letter C, church. And we can be in, from whatever background it is, regarding whatever denomination we choose to be a part of. There won't only be Baptists in heaven. I just want you to know. There's other denominations, and that's the capital C, church. The lowercase c, church, is this. It's the local body of believers. And this is what we're shooting for. This is our focus, right? We first, as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, capital C, church, that's primary, that's number one. To be a member of a local body church, we must be believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come together in lowercase c, church, and begin to do His work, to grow together. So this whole embassy picture that we are a part of the capital C church, first, we become citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. And then until we get to that heavenly realm in which we'll be with God in unmolested worship for an eternity, we're here. Even though we may not feel as if we really belong in this world, because we don't. Until then, we're on a mission for God. And we're going to see that here in a little bit. So first, we must be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, it goes on, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Verse 20 is very clear. That the church, the local church, should put Jesus Christ as the head of the church. That we should take the fullness of Scripture that showed us and pointed us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole first 39 books of the Bible shows us that Jesus is going to come and He's going to fulfill the will of God in our life to make us a part of His grander family. The whole Old Testament, the foundation of all things that we have, is found in the Old Testament and fulfilled through the New. So this is a big requirement. So a church requirement is that we must be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look to Scripture and all that God has done for us, number two. And then it goes on and says, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. Now, a lot of you are builders. You've been around builders. And you know that you start at one central point. You're getting ready to build something new. Today, we bring the backhoe in. We dig us a ditch. We pour the footers, and then we start building on the footers, right? Back then, they didn't do that. They didn't have backhoes back in Jesus' day. What they would do is they would set a stone, just like what we do today. We say, where do you want your house? I want it here. You got two options. You can face the road, or you can face this way. You determine what it is. You drive a pin in one spot, and you say, I want it 60 feet, and you go out 60 feet, and I want it by 30 feet, and you go over here, and then you square that up, but you all start right here at this one point, don't you? And you start digging, you make it square, and you start building the house. You determine that one point. Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. So what they would do back then, they would take the straightest rock that they could find, top and bottom, equal in depth both ways as most, and they would set that stone. And everything else is built off of that. Are you all hearing me? We drove a pin and say this is where we want to start building our house, but they're saying that Jesus is that cornerstone. Everything about that building, everything about that house, everything about our lives, everything about our church starts off the one rock. Starts with Jesus. And that goes on to talk about the very cornerstone that was rejected. You see that in Scripture. Psalm 118 predicted it, right? And then they just keep quoting it over and over, showing that Jesus was that very cornerstone that our fathers rejected. We are to accept this cornerstone, that He is the foundation. He is the reason that from that, everything else is built. Amen? Yeah. Are you following with me here? Because this is important stuff. So as a church, we're to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to take the fullness of Scripture and everything that has been set aside, or already been set in stone for us, and that He has to be the cornerstone, that everything we do, everything in a different direction we want to go, all that we want and hope is built off of who Jesus Christ is. His person and work is built off of that cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom the whole structure being joined together. I love that language too. We're not just coming as individual parts. We're coming together as a family. You share things together. You grow together, right? Being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you are also built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let me look at my notes here. I think I missed something. It's okay. We're going to keep going. Verse 21 and 22, that we are a church. We're a local body. We're a family growing together. We're growing in our faith and understanding. This is a discipleship process. We're to learn from one another. We're to trust in one another. We're to comfort one another, encourage one another. We're to, as we say, grow into one body. Paul paints this picture very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he says, beginning in verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, it all were made to drink of one Spirit. So you're getting this uniting right here, right? For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. And all are single members, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. That is a very beautiful and clear picture of what the church should be. Taking each other's strengths, taking each other's call, coming together and being what we need to be. One, for the glory of God, and two, whomever God puts in our life. This is our call as a church. So what are we looking for? I've already summarized it enough. But in chapter 2, verse 20, it says the foundation is Christ. In chapter 4, it talks about church unifying on the message of Christ. you've already seen that it has to be on Jesus, the message of Jesus. It has to be the fullness of Scripture. So it has to be a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church is what you should be looking for. But then it goes on and talks about we need to be unified on that message. We need to know the Scriptures ourselves. And I'm encouraging you to study them. Don't just trust what I give you. I only get 30 minutes with you. And I don't know if you've read the Bible or not. It's hard to tell you everything you need to know in 30 minutes. I'm just doing my best at where I feel God leading me to share with you. Read the Bible for yourself. Let's come together. Let's talk about it. Let's grow in this faith together. Let's disciple one another. I grow so much from conversations with any believer. God uses all of us for each other. So let us grow together upon the faith and understanding of who Christ is. Let's be unified because we know the message of Christ. So another thing we see is that we equip, right? We see this word in chapter 4, verse 12, to equip the saints of the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity, the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to measure the stature and fullness of Christ so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. We should be able to stand strong, recognize Satan and what he's trying to distract us from being a body of believers for the glory of God. Be able to recognize that and say, no, we're not going that direction. To stand up and say, it's God first, the cornerstone. Let's not reject that stone. Let's build on that stone. Not being craftiness and carried away, right? So we should equip one another, discipleship, grow, care for. And second, we work properly on a unified mission. We look for a chance to serve here, right? In verse 15, rather speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Folks, the language is all over the place in the Scriptures. God wants us to come together as a body of believers. Even though we're not where we belong, until He comes and gets us, until He calls us home, we are to be a body, a living organism, growing together. You need to trust your church as long as it's founded on the Scriptures, as it teaches and believes the fullness of Scripture. That we're willing to serve as Christ is the head of that church, looking for opportunities to be usable vessels for them. We've covered a lot of this through the book of Acts so far. We see from the very beginning, from the grassroots of things, they're figuring it out. Let's figure it out together. Be willing to change when necessary in order to keep Christ on the throne. Keep Him the reason for why we're together, and Him the cornerstone. Building on the Scriptures that we have readily available to us. Making much of Him in a world that needs to hear it. Knowing we got a safe place to return to. A safe haven to get things fixed in our own lives. Or maybe be available to help fix other people that are struggling as well. Our mission's out here. In a past church, I had a sign over every door. As you walked out that door, you had the chance, as you walked out, it said, you're now entering the mission field. Outside of these doors is your mission field. As soon as you step out, we do the church out there. We when you got problems, you got a place to come and get help. We're going to have problems. We're going to need help. You got a spot right here. So if you're not a member of a church, number one, are you a member of God's church? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, His perfect work and sacrifice, because we're all sinners? Are we a part of the capital C church? And do you really have a family of believers around you? Where you know that when you call, that your family's going to be behind you? And do you trust that family that is on mission according to Scripture, looking to Christ, on which everything is built? This is the church, according to the Scriptures. It's inviting you that if you feel led, to be a part of that church. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Again, Terry, I just love how you just went right off the cuff. You put it all back together, and I appreciate that. Very good job. So I don't know what we're going to sing. It doesn't matter what you sing. God's moving in your life. We invite you to come and be a part of God's church as well as Cropper Baptist Church if you feel led to do so. Heavenly Father, we